Live from the Hamptons, broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to WOC, Winners Only Club. Here's your host, Lulu Romano.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Winners Only Club, the number one podcast in the Hamptons and beyond. I'm your host, Lulu, and today we have the privilege, pleasure, and honor to be in the same room as Mark Epley at his Seafield Center in West Hampton. Mark, was that introduction suffice, or did you want to add something to it?
No. That's too much.
Okay, let me tone it down. Today we're with a bro named Mark.
That sounds good.
So tell us, I don't know, there's so much to, you used to be a former mayor of Southampton, 12 years, a supporter, participant, and donor of the Polar Bear Plunge. We're going to start off by him talking a little bit about this.
Well, it's the heart of Hamptons. It's the food pantry in Southampton. Heart of Hamptons supports a lot of families around, and one of their major fundraisers is the Polar Bear Plunge, which is always done in December. It's December 11th this year at Cooper's Beach, and jump in time is 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm very proud of that, partly because my one son, Nick, who's a third grade teacher in the Southampton Elementary School, is actually the president of the board for the Heart of the Hamptons. And for years, I've supported him. When I was the mayor, I would dress up in a variety of costumes. And now my kids do it. And they dress up in costumes and jump in and raise money. And it's an extremely important organization. So,
do you think that you will be participating again this year?
I'm going to be a donor and a supporter. Probably not going to jump in the ocean. And I don't know if my cardiologist will let me jump in the ocean. I know my wife doesn't want me to jump in there. So, but yeah, at least a couple of my kids are going to be in there. So once one of my sons is an EMT, so he's always with the ambulance. And then my daughter is going to be chasing her twin boys around the beach. And my two older sons will jump in. They're dressing up as wrestlers, professional wrestlers this year from the 1980s. So it'll be good.
Do you have names or simply professional wrestlers?
Well, the one's dressing up as Hulk Hogan, and the other one's going to dress up as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Savage.
Yes.
Tell me about local life. How long were you living here in Southampton before you became the mayor? And what was life like? Take us back to when you were the mayor of Southampton. Not just any town, Southampton.
So I became the mayor in 2005, and I was the mayor until 2017. And, you know, I originally grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, is where I grew up at, and I joined the Navy in 1983, spent 9 years in the Navy, and got out in 1992, and moved to Southampton at that point in time. My wife went to Southampton High School, and before that, summered in Southampton, and so her family lives in Southampton, and my father-in-law actually started Seafield Center. And back in 1985, my wife helped him start Seafield, and then when I got out of the Navy in 1992, I went to work for my father-in-law, and then, you know, bought him out of the business about a little over 9 years ago. It's been interesting. So, you know, being the mayor is you know, I'm you know, I remember when it was first elected, the two people who called me up. One was the previous mayor, John Romanowski, and he said, whatever you do, don't ever compromise the safety of the people that live in Southampton. So support the police, support the fire department, support the ambulance, support dispatchers, and do everything you do to protect the emergency services, because the reality is we're on the ocean. Every year we lose somebody that drowns. Every year there's house fires. Every year there's people that need ambulance services, and you know, you have people that come from all over the world out to the East End, and famous, you know, political figures, celebrities, etc. And it's our responsibility to provide a safe environment for everybody to come out and vacation. And that's he said, so don't ever compromise safety. And then the second call that I got was this guy, his name was Buzz Schwenk, and he was a Republican, he was in charge of the Republican Party for Suffolk County, and he was a really good man, and unfortunately he passed away a few years ago. But he called me up and he said, you know, because I'll give you two pieces of advice. One is, when you're the mayor, you're like your arm in a bucket of water. When you decide that you're done, you pull your arm out and the water fills in the hole, and you can see you're not really that important. And then the second thing is that if you're going to do the job, do it right, you're going to anger, you have to make decisions. And every decision you make, you're going to anger people. And you're going to anger everybody in your life, including your wife. And then, and you turn around and you realize that everybody you know, you've made angry, which means you've probably done a decent job. And trying to make decisions, because they're difficult. So those are the pieces of advice that always went through my mind every day. But it was an interesting place. I got to, you know, meet all sorts of different individuals and met the Kardashians. My daughter got to meet the Kardashians.
I saw the picture, and yeah. You were named best father ever, right? Tell us every single step.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So, first of all, when I got elected, and my daughter was 11 years old, and she said to me, the only thing I want to do is I want to meet somebody famous. So, you know, when the Kardashians came out and they were doing their show for the summer in the Hamptons or something like that, their producer came and met with me and said, you know, we're going to just ask to do a few shots here and there, but we're not going to open up a store or anything like that. I said, okay. And the next day they had signed an agreement to open up a store on Jobe's Lane. And I was just like, you know, why would you lie to me?
How dare you?
And I was like, you know, I got it. You know, I didn't want to see mob scenes like you saw in Miami or New York City and all of that. And the reality is that here in the Hamptons, and pretty much there's a lot of famous people around in the Hamptons. So they were relatively left alone. They were going to film in the store on Jobe's Lane, and they reached out to me, and they said, we're going to film. And the lady organizing the filming permit said, you know, the mayor's daughter really wants to meet you guys. And they said, well, bring her down. the mother and the three daughters were there. The Kardashian girls. And so it was, never really watched their show. I don't really know much about them. But my daughter knew all, and she was in heaven. And it was cute. So I got to be the dad of the day. she was happy with me. So it was good.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, I heard if you're a police officer, you have, or if you're like a family member of a police officer, you have a badge, something that can get you out of things.
Sure.
Do you have something like that as a mayor? Do you have some special thing too?
No. Okay. I mean, I had, you know, I had the business cards and stuff like that, but I never really found myself in a position where I would have to tell somebody, you know. So, like, you just go through life and kind of follow what the rules are. But
life had to be different for you as the mayor, right? It had to be different.
Oh, sure. I mean, I get to the point where, that's kind of why I stepped away in 2017, is that, you know, I got to the point where, You know, I couldn't go down the street. I couldn't go into a restaurant. My family couldn't go into the delis. You know, in the Village of Southampton, people don't realize that the Village of Southampton was the very first municipality in New York State to ban the plastic bag. And there were, I think, only two or three other municipalities in the country that did that. And we held a public hearing on it. And I actually had lobbyists that came up from Washington, D.C., representing the petroleum industry, who spoke at a public hearing where we were going to ban it. And our lobbyist came, and she said, you know, these are all the reasons. And I said, who are you and why are you here? Because I'm here in Southampton, New York. It's a little town and a little village. And we're just going to do this one simple little thing that nobody else is doing. And she spoke for the petroleum industry and told me all the reasons why we shouldn't ban it. And I just remember saying to her afterwards, I said, well, thanks for coming, because you making the trip from Washington, D.C. to the Village of Southampton for this public hearing tells me that we're doing the right thing. And that, and so it was never looked at as a ban of plastic bags. It was looked at as a, you know, have people think differently. But which led to, when we did it, going into the grocery store with my wife and having somebody standing at the cash register screaming at me, saying I didn't like poor people because I wanted everybody to bring their own bag to the grocery store instead of getting these non-recyclable plastic bags, which get thrown all over the place, and you found them on the beaches and the roads and everything. And so that was really the last time my wife let me go to the grocery store with her. So, which is a good thing and a bad thing. So, yeah.
Is it because you had to pay 5 cents for the bag?
Well, that was it. So, okay. But you never had to pay 5 cents before.
Oh.
So in New York State, everybody uses those little plastic bags. And there were a couple of municipalities out west that decided they didn't want to do that. So when we looked at it, you could drive down the street, you would see bags hanging out of the trees because they would blow out of dump trucks and stuff. You'd find them on the beach, you'd find them on the side of the road, they get caught up in drains. And so we created a SAVE committee. It was a green committee in Southampton Village. And they came back and said, one of the things we'd like to do is do a bring your own bag, push to, and then ban the use of the single use plastic bags. And so we did that, and we were the first in the state of New York. And now no one has those little bags, you know, unless they're recyclable and stuff, or, you know, and are biodegradable. And so it made a big difference, and it's going across it's kind of like the straw and the plastic straw. When you think about how many single-use plastics are there in the world, and what are we doing? We're dumping them, and I have 11 grandkids, so I view everything now through the lens of being a grandfather, and, you know, like what am I handing over to my to the next generation? What are we handing over to the world? What kind of place am I leaving this for my grandkids? And that's kind of the way I look at it and stuff now. So,
do you give them good advices, or even better, is there a piece of advice that you've gotten that you've passed it on to your kids?
Well, I pass it on my kids, and I'm like, be the parent. You know, there's too many people now that want to be their kids' friends. Mm-hmm. You're not. You're the parent, and so you have to discipline, you have to set standards, and you have to expect certain things, and you know, we're living in a world that is, we're living in an instantaneous gratification society is really what we're living in, where anything you can get is on the internet, and kids are on their phones, and they're playing, and they're separating from real life. And I said to my my kids be a parent, you know. And I will tell you that my wife is really good at talking to my kids. And she is a really good relationship. My oldest son calls her like 900 times a day. So, you know, I tell my kids, take chances in life, be a parent, you know, give back. Because I mean, look at my kids. I'm proud of them, very proud. So my oldest son is, he's on the Southampton Youth Services board, the SYS board, the rec center. He's the vice president of that. He's been involved with that, and he coaches baseball at the high school. He's a fireman, and he does a lot of things there, and he's on the hospice board, and so he gives back to the community significantly. My middle son Nick, who's a third grade teacher, he's the president of the Heart of the Hamptons board. He coaches baseball at the high school, basketball at the high school, and he actually coached girls field hockey this year because they needed a field hockey coach, and so he does that. My son Chris, who's my third one, who is he's an EMT. He was the chief of the ambulance in the village of Southampton for years, still involved with it and stuff, and he spends a lot of time helping respond to the people and stuff. So, and then my daughter is a mother of twins. So.
That's a job in itself.
So she's working 48 hours a day, but her husband Ricky is he's a fireman. He's a captain in the fire department, and you know, he'd like to become a chief in the fire department someday, and he's a hardworking man, and he's also in the ambulance. So he taught a CPR class last night to people in the community and stuff. So it was I like to think that my kids and their spouses, and they're all on, you know, they all give back. You know, one of my daughter-in-laws is in the ambulance department. One's, and they're all involved with a variety of things, and whether it's school or different organizations and stuff. And I would like to think that my wife and I, that was the example that we set, is that, you know, I'm a veteran. I coached, you know, when I got out of the Navy I moved to Southampton, I coached football, baseball, basketball, soccer. I was on the Little League board. My wife and I ran soccer programs out here for years. We helped start the Long Island Junior soccer program in Southampton, which now has over 300 kids playing in it and stuff. So, you know, and my wife was on the PTA board. She was the president for like 13 years at Tuckahoe. And so that's what my kids saw, and I think they do that, and they're passing that on to their kids, and they bring their kids to the things that they're involved with. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's about giving back. So, you know, it's one of those things where those who given much is expected of, and that's how I look at it. I didn't grow up wealthy. My father worked at a meat packing plant in Tennessee, he struggled, you know, making ends meet and stuff, and I'm fortunate, and I've had some good luck, and you know, try to give back and help other people out. So
the name of this podcast is called Winners Only Club.
Yep.
What is your definition of a winner and your definition of a loser?
Gosh, a winner is anybody who can get up every day and look in the mirror and say, I like that person. And the loser is the person who can't look in the mirror. And so because I know a lot of winners that live very simple lives and are very happy, and I know a lot of losers that are worth a lot of money and have everything in the world, and that's just not good enough for them. So that's how that's really how I define it, is that, you know, it's all within. Like, you know, winner doesn't have to tell anybody they're a winner. You know, they can look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm okay with that guy. And so if you can't say that, then you are a loser. And then you have to work to become a winner.
And so, money alone doesn't bring someone from a loser to a winner.
Yeah, money has nothing to do with that. You know, it's interesting. My daughter, she went to Bryant University, and so she studied human resources in there and business management. And she said to me that the top 10 things on what attracts people to a job, number 7 is money, and number 1 is being happy. And so being satisfied with your job. So, you know, people think money's the end all. It's not. It's not. You can live a very, very happy, you can live a very comfortable life. You can do a lot of things. You can go a lot of different places and have things, and that's great. But the reality is, until you're really happy with who you are, then nothing else matters. So, yeah.
Do you think you can give us a list of all your jobs you've ever had, starting with, like, I don't know, delivering pizza?
Oh, see, I cut grass as a kid. I sold hot dogs at the University of Tennessee football games as a kid, at like 9-10 years old. So you have to walk through the stands and go, hot dogs, and it's hot dogs. So I actually had, as a 10-year-old, the student section. So the students at the University of Tennessee would always get drunk before the football games, come down and watch the football games, and then I would sell them hot dogs in the stands. So they would all eat. And so it was a fun experience, I should say. But bagged groceries in a grocery store. I worked in a grocery store mopping floors. I did maintenance in a Target department store, cleaning up stuff, and I did undercover security in a department store where to chase down criminals and stuff, people trying to shoplift and stuff. And I worked at the 1982 World's Fair, and I worked as in the entertainment department, and I got to drive the Stroh's car and the afternoon parade, and then they had a light show that went through. I got to drive vehicles in the light show, and that was fun. And then I was in 1983, the Miss USA pageant, I was an escort.
What?
With them, I would get
like the, you were very handsome.
No, I was not handsome at all.
So, what does that mean, escort?
No, escort means that I got to go with the production crew and the girls and go to different spots and help them out doing things.
How did you get that job?
LinkedIn. The same people that put on the World's Fair in 1982, did the Miss USA pageant in 1983. It was the same people that I worked for. So at the end of that, I realized that my grades in college were awful. I was kind of out of control and partying, and I went down and joined the Navy. And then I spent 9 years in the Navy on submarines and doing stuff like that. So
you lived underwater?
I did. Yeah, I did. I was the longest I was underwater was 69 days under the water.
Can you explain the logistics, like, How did you pee?
Same way I normally do.
And then actually out the window?
No, there are no windows on a submarine.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So, yeah. No, it's. I mean, it's a living, working environment, and you know, that's what you do. So it's a ship, you know. It's a ship that sinks and hopefully surfaces. So
you met your wife before or after you joined the Navy?
After I joined the Navy.
Okay. Otherwise, that would be so miserable to, because I hear those war stories.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I met her, and right after I met her, then I went to sea for like 30 days or so, and then came back, and she actually thought I'd forgotten about her. So I couldn't forget about her. Oh, gosh. And so then my submarine was in Portsmouth. It was in Groton, Connecticut. And then we went up to Portsmouth, New Hampshire for an overhaul, which means they pulled the sub out of the water. They stripped it down, rebuilt it, and sent it back to sea. And it was quite a long time. So that's when I moved to New Hampshire with my sub. And then my wife was in Southampton. And we basically spent the summer driving back and forth between New Hampshire and Southampton. And at the end of the summer, I said, I either have to marry her or get rid of her because we can't continue to do that. So we got married and I conned her into it and stuff. So, so it's been good. So then, you know, I was on the sub and then I got off and I spent time at the Nautilus Museum for a couple of years, which towards the end of my career. In my 9 years in the Navy, so went to school at nighttime and finished up my bachelor's degree and started part of my master's, and which I completed after I got out of the military. So,
what did your master in?
Business administration.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so
we have two questions left to go.
Sure, go ahead.
It is what is the best part about serving the Hamptons?
The best part about serving the Hamptons is, it's like everything else. You just give it, it's a community that I live in. It's a community that my kids live in. It's my community that my grandkids live in. It's a place where I have my friends, and it's where I live and I work. And so, the best part is just giving back to make the place a better place. So, on the first date that I had with my wife, we went to New York City, and we're walking in New York City, and she stops and she bends over and she picks up a piece of garbage, just a random piece of garbage. She throws it in the garbage can, and I was like, "What are you doing?" And she said, "My philosophy is that if every person in the world picked up a random piece of garbage every single day, the planet would be clean." And at that point in time, I was like, God, I love this girl. But that's
love at first garbage.
Exactly. But the reality is, if everybody did one thing, just get back to, get involved, coach, get involved with the PTA, get involved with the Heart of the Hamptons, do something, one single thing, pick up one piece of garbage. Think about what the world would all be like. You know, so you think about, you know, what does it feel like to serve the Hamptons? I look at it as we shall be serving everything. So I'm a veteran, so I believe in serving, you know, for the United States and making a place a better place, and I love the people that have done that. And but if we all stepped up and just did just one thing. Just one simple good thing. If everybody did that, think of that. You know, and so the power of that. So that's that's I have 11 grandkids, so hopefully each one of them will go and do one thing and so make the place a better place. So
if you're not doing this right now, what would you be doing?
I probably would be at sipping soda with my wife and one of my grandkids.
No, I mean, if you weren't running this Sea Fuel Center.
Oh, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, I've been doing this for almost 30 years now. And I'm getting to that point where I want to transition operations over to my kids. So I've got two sons working in the business here. I don't know. That's a good question. I've done all sorts of stuff. If I weren't doing this right now and COVID wasn't here, I'd probably be traveling the world with my wife is what we would be doing. So, cause that's one of the downsides to the doing everything and in your community and coaching and being the mayor is we didn't really travel very much and stuff. So, so that's one of the things that I would like to do now at this point in time. So, but yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah.
That's a wrap for today's Winners Only Club. Okay. How can people reach out to you if they would like to?
Best thing would be to call Seafield Center and it's 631-288-1122. And my assistant Joanne can help you out and stuff there. That would be the best way to reach out to me. So
thank you so much for coming onto this podcast.
Thanks, Lulu.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks. All right, bye.